Hi, my name is Jeff, and this is Rally Banter. So we're going to talk about a side project that we had submitted today. And the first one is verseco.com. There is a hyphen in the URL, so check the show notes to get the URL. It's a collection of articles and resources for designers. It was written by Nguyen Le. And there is an email subscribe link on there. It has over 2,300 designers on the mailing list. I think my favorite article on there was the behind the scenes look on a project from inquiry to delivery. I think it was pretty cool to look into his process. Ben, did you have a chance to check it out?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Verse Co. for a while. Nguyen's doing a great job of pushing content to that. And I think it's just, in general, it's awesome to see somebody who's very senior in the community giving back to the younger up-and-coming designers. And there's a lot of great resources that he's been writing.
Yeah, I think it's something that everyone can learn something from. Eric, did you have a chance to check it out?
Yeah, Jeff, I've been a huge fan of Nguyen's work for a long time. I've been following him for quite a bit of years. And so it's been an awesome to see kind of like that insider look into his process. And he has an awesome aesthetic. He has an awesome point of view. And
super clean.
Yes.
I love it. The nice, strong type.
Yes, and his type relationships are beautiful. So young designers out there, this piggybacks off a previous episode, check out his work, learn from what he's doing. And
I think everyone should check it out, not just young designers. Jim, do you have a chance to check it out?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of more excited about the process masterclass. I signed up for that.
Oh, really?
And I just got an email actually, like right now. From him.
Like while we were recording?
Yeah, while we were recording. It had a PSD included in it. So I'm kind of excited to pop that open and see what lives in there.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I think it's really cool. He was chatting with me on Slack really briefly, just saying that he's forcing himself to write an article a week. Hell of a challenge. I know I've been trying to challenge myself to write more, and man, writing so hard. God.
Yeah. No, I hate writing. It is so hard. So what he's doing is just really impressive in that way, because just anytime a really talented designer, you know, can really force themselves to produce content, high quality content, and get it out there as a side project, it's pretty rad. So I think you should check it out.
Yeah, I think it also gives you an opportunity to kind of like digest what you're doing yourself and give you a retrospective look at what you have learned over the years and maybe start like compartmentalizing. Did I say that right?
Compartmentalizing. Maybe.
It's like the more you think about it, the harder it'll get to say, I think.
Yeah, I had a philosophy teacher that would just have that thing roll off his tongue, and I could never.
I struggle with hierarchical.
I don't even try.
Hierarchical.
Yeah, I just say hierarchy. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I. What Nguyen's doing is awesome. I think our industry and our community needs more of that, especially if we want to be taken seriously, like architecture. We need more of that kind of like deep analysis and thinking and writing and discussion and discourse. I think those are synonyms, but whatever. Anyways, should we
it
get
made sense to me.
Well, it's kind of like the scientific community with their peer review. Like you're kind of reaffirming.
Yeah definitely.
That's a whole interesting topic. Sometime to, I think, is just getting into like, should our industry, like, should there be licenses like architecture, you know?
Yeah. Well, what do we want to talk about today?
I mean, I don't know. We had a couple topics. Do we want to talk about work-life balance?
Work-life balance.
Relationships and work.
Relationships and work. Eric, how do you balance work and life? You like fly fishing, correct?
Yes, I have too many hobbies.
So how do you balance? How do you make sure your work gets done, but you're also not getting burnt out?
I think it's really all about the balance. I hate to sound too cliche, but work 100 hours a week and then play for 100 hours a week.
I don't think
math is adding up. Math is really adding up.
That's a big week.
Unless your work is play.
I mean, that's an interesting topic too. It's like I think for a lot of us, our work isn't just, it is a job, but it is also something that we enjoy doing.
One of the reasons we end up working so much is because we don't see it as work and we care about it and we have fun with it. And it is very much what Jim is saying, play.
Yeah.
Is it though? Is it? Wouldn't you rather be fly fishing? A lot of the time? I mean, you can love your work, but it's not really.
It comes back to the balance. If I spent, you know, 2 days on the river fishing, I would want to be in front of the computer moving type around and vice versa.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do you work dedicated 9 to 6? When do you come in? When do you leave usually? And please, no exaggeration.
I think Ben would probably say on average I'm the first one in the office, maybe.
Yeah.
And
a lot of times the last one.
But is that good?
So that's another conversation Ben and I have had in my last review was during the day, if I was more focused, I could leave earlier kind of thing. But it's also just kind of my creative process. I like to avert my eyes often and then like do double takes and like check back in with what I'm pushing around and kind of come at it with fresh eyes like every few minutes. But I do end up spending time on the internet, like looking at inspiration and whatever. So I'm here longer. But for me, it's how I work, and there's nothing I can do about it, really.
I think that's interesting because I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I think I would rather show up at between 9 and 10 and be as focused as possible until 6 and then leave and then have that time slot reliably be open for me.
Yeah. And so, and I should caveat, I love like completely losing myself in my work.
Oh, agreed.
And like when hours just vanish and like you're kind of like you have this mojo flowing, like that is the best thing. But it doesn't always happen. There are days where it's hard to focus.
Well, it seems like you kind of get that too when there's less people in the office. Like you get more dialed just from working with you personally in the office when no one else is here.
And that's another reason why I probably come early and leave late is because there's no one around to distract.
I think the distraction thing is interesting because I think it's a personality thing too, because I find myself getting really distracted a lot of times by just industry related things like shit on Twitter, like people, like colleagues in the industry that are talking about crap. And it's like sometimes, and I don't do it often enough, it's like just turning that shit off, because it is sometimes very hard to focus. Like you want to focus, but you're kind of constantly just like, oh shit, somebody just pinged me on Twitter, like just for a while. I know getting into like the relationships type of thing, like for a while I think Anson had a term for it, but I can't remember, but I would kind of put my phone in like the mode where you don't get alerted by anyone or anything, and it's kind of like a sort of a dick move, because it's just people will just text you or like call you, and you know, friends that are outside the industry or like even your parents, like my parents would call me, and like I'd call them like days later because I would turn all that stuff off. So like for me, finding that balance of like trying to cut out the distractions and just focus at work, I think is something that I'm like constantly struggling with. But that's, for me, a part of it is like, how do you balance the distractions?
Yeah, especially with all these new messaging mediums, I think the expectation for response times is so low now, especially on Slack. Oh, or
Slack's such a killer now.
But I mean, I find myself a lot of time, like, again, I really just want to focus between 9 and 6 or whatever and just be completely dedicated to the task at hand, have a nice hour off for lunch, kind of get a mental break. But a lot of the time, if I find myself having trouble focusing, I'll close Slack, I'll close email. But the problem is, like, sometimes people get pissed when you don't respond right away.
Yeah,
that's true.
There's definitely pressure on those like immediate sort of applications for messages.
I wonder though, do we put that pressure on ourselves? Like, how pissed do you, like, is it really the end of the world if we don't respond?
Yeah, I think it's fair to look at it that way. I think we probably put more merit into our responses than we really should.
I think that I don't know, but at the same time, have you ever like pinged somebody and like you see that they're online, like you see them online, and they're just you know that they're ignoring you. And I mean, it's not that you get pissed, but it's just like,
I'm a big fan of doing, I mean, even when we do these podcasts, I do the command click on the notifications thing. And yeah, like sometimes I don't get those notifications because I'm like, I'm still getting the messages, but I'm not getting like a tonal alert, so to say.
Right.
Or yeah, just like a chip coming up in the corner. I don't know what the correct OS terminology for that is, but.
Yeah. But I mean, for me, I think, Jeff, you do a really good job of being able to like kind of block your time in a way that's like super, super focused. Unlike most people I've worked with, honestly.
I'm not as good as Wes, though. Wes is really good.
Oh, well, Wes
may in fact be a robot. A machine.
Well, I think Wes just sees the world in literally in like a matrix. It's all code. Like there's a running joke from a long time ago. I can't remember if it was you and I, Jeff, that were talking about this, or maybe it was somebody else. And so I don't think Wes would really feel too bad if we said like he's when he drives, he's sort of not super good with directions, like just relational spaces. And there's this running joke once that we're just like, I wonder if it's because like when he's driving around, there's just code like going past his eyes. Like he's driving to lunch and there's just like code that he's thinking about. That's just like, literally he's just seeing. And yeah, so he's not really focused on like where he's going specifically. He's just like, there's just code always like scrolling.
Just through. Washing over his viewport.
RL viewport. I feel like maybe anyways, I don't, it's, there's a good chance that Wes doesn't even listen to these. I mean, Wes is the example of like somebody who is, you know, when he's working, he is incredibly focused and he's always been like that. And he also just refuses to get on very distracting platforms. Like he has a Twitter account. There are zero tweets on it.
Yeah.
He has a Facebook account. I've never seen him actually post to his Facebook account. Like you go on his Facebook and it's just everybody else is posting on it.
I'm kind of envious about that because I wish I could kind of put away the social pressure to respond to a lot of that stuff. I did delete my Facebook account for a lot of those reasons, but also just because the content stopped being interesting to me. Or at least I decided officially that it wasn't interesting to me.
You don't like political memes?
No.
The memes like on newsfeed are, I mean, it's just a time suck ultimately. That's the hard part with some of these things is like they do serve a purpose, but then they're also like sucking you in away from being productive.
Yeah.
And that sucks. For lack of a better word, like at the end of the day, it's like it's keeping you from doing things that you should be doing. It and that, I mean, for me personally, that falls onto some of my like issues, like as a person, right? And like if I was a little bit stronger and like, you know, just more focused and better at like kind of not allowing myself to get distracted, then I could knuckle down more.
But it's hard because whether it's a conversation on Twitter or a conversation happening in the office, like it's all stuff that we care about and we want to contribute to, you know, the ideas or the opinions or share opinions or whatever. So it's like, it's super hard to turn it off because it is stuff that like-minded people are talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, going back to the work-life balance thing, I think everybody's a little bit different here, but we all sort of do like have hobbies outside of being in front of a computer.
And that's one reason why I think we all live in Utah. Nine times out of 10, we all live here to play.
Yeah.
And that's why it's kind of
except for Jim. But Jim, you got stuff.
I play guitar.
Yeah, exactly. Like you have stuff that you do that has nothing to do with like, you know, screens, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of that's like due to the fact that I gave up driving. For all of you out there, I gave up driving. But I think if I had greater access to like...
Jim moved to Utah where it's not really known for its fantastic public transportation.
Yeah, I sold my car when I came to Raleigh. So, you know, sometimes you got to sell stuff to get to where you want to go. And There was no relocation package, so.
That is fucking bullshit.
I'm just razzing you. No,
let me pop up in the business bank account here. I think I'm pretty sure there's a.
No, it was just something where I didn't want to like transport a car from North Carolina and have to put repairs in it. But that's besides the point. Like, I think if I had access to a vehicle, it would give me like greater liberties to like kind of explore Utah a little bit more, and that's what I'm really excited about this summer. But there's
because,
plenty to
because you're going to get a car this summer,
you think? Yeah well, and I guess like my friend base has kind of expanded since I've been here the last 9 or 10 months, so mm-hmm. I've met more people that are willing or want, like, you know, want to go explore like Moab. And
yeah, I mean, there's so much to explore, and especially if you get out of Salt Lake, it's like, you know, 2-3 hours or so down to Moab, and like, you know, unless you're going solo, there's usually like a group of people that are going like all the time, and you know.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I mean, I've gone fishing with you guys already, mm-hmm. and you know, sometimes we do bike rides for lunch, and
yeah, it is hard to balance though. It really is, and I think some of it, at least for me, it's harder for me to balance more of the fun lifestyle stuff when we do grow to a larger size, because I start feeling a little guilty for taking those lunch bike rides and stuff.
But we're never going to grow to a larger size.
No, I know. But I mean, I'm talking even like 12, you know what I mean? Like, the more people there are here that don't bike or fish or whatever, the more I feel like a little bit guilty, I think, like taking off that time. I don't know. Does anyone else feel that way?
Sure.
I feel guilty when I'm not in the office, like, participating, and I just feel like I could be missing out on valuable conversations or ideas that are being exchanged, but I think we all deserve a little bit of time off here and there, so with that being said, like, you know, you can't stretch yourself too thin.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's also one thing that I've learned, at least individually, is that, you know, we don't have a vacation policy here, but that doesn't necessarily mean that people – like, especially some of our devs, like Wes and Adam, have a really hard time, like, just peeling away. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is, like, you have to just make it a priority.
Totally. And
I think everybody here, for the most part, is able to do that. But it also means, like, for me, I just know, like, every August, I'm out 2 weeks. I'm going back to Michigan and, like, just figure out a way to plan around that. And that's, you know, that's part of it, too, is, like, just figuring out a way to, like, and I need to get better at this too, but like figuring out a way to like block out time.
Yeah.
Even in your day that you want to do something.
I think a lot of it is just picking dates in the calendar, like a month, 2 months out or something, and just like forcing yourself to take that time off.
Yeah.
And then you do that and you get a sick project that comes through and you're like, oh man, I'm missing out. But yeah, it is like, you've got to kind of be conscious of.
There'll always be projects.
Yeah.
Though. But I mean, that's the nice thing about living, and this goes back to like where we're based, right? Is like, we are outside of the noise of the bigger cities and the bigger tech scenes. But I think, at least for me, if I was in the, you know, living in the Bay Area, it would be very, even trying to get away from it all. Like, you go to coffee shop, and like every time I go to coffee shop in the Bay, in like San Francisco, I still feel like I'm in somebody's fucking office.
It doesn't feel like a break.
No, not at all. Because like everybody around you is talking about stuff like JavaScript or blah, 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 or their platforms. And it's like, this is weird.
That's why you got to get into music, man. Go to a record store, get online.
Well, I guess, and for me, it's more about like getting outside. You know, that's what makes me tick outside of work, is literally getting outdoors and exercising and stuff. And
yeah, exercise, being outside, those are big ones for me. I don't know, just being able to devote your mind and your physical energy like completely to something, whether it's grinding up a hill or just focusing on catching fish and fly patterns.
I feel like a lot of us could very easily just be the hermits that work 24/7 around the clock. But we kind of have to almost force ourselves. Like, we enjoy it, but we force ourselves to get away from the machines because we're more balanced. And I know personally, like, I could lock myself in a room and just work. But yeah, then I'd just be, like, completely insane.
There's diminishing returns, yeah. I think, for me. Like, if I go too long, it's just, I'm still, like, I'm so determined that, like, I could just keep going until I'm practically falling asleep at my desk. But, like, you look at what you're doing, like, the 2 hours prior to falling asleep and collapsing, and it's all shit.
Yeah. You know? How many, it's just, how many times have you fallen asleep at your desk?
Zero. But I guess what I'm saying, though, is, like, there have been many, many times in my career that I've, like, pulled all-nighters or close to all-nighters, and in the witching hour, now that I've gotten older, it is, I look at the pace at what I'm able to produce, and it is like snail's pace. Like, it'd be better if I just go home and come in the morning and jam out like for 2 hours in the morning.
Yeah. So how many times have you guys had an awesome idea on the bike or standing in a river?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
It never happens in the office for me.
If the river is my shower, yes.
a lot. Well, there's definitely, for me, something to that, to being outside. I don't know if it's just the idea keeps stewing in the back of my mind or something or what, but
it could be. I mean, like, if you're out and you're thinking about it and you can't act on it immediately, like, you kind of get some time to digest what you're thinking about, and maybe
it forces you to maybe think more before action, before taking action.
Yeah, definitely.
I also just think, and this is like a maybe just more philosophical level, is just like, as human beings, we were meant to spend time outside. No way. Right?
Like, no way. We were born in, you know, HOAs.
It's getting really, well, it's just getting, I look at technology right now, and it's going back to the whole, like, how much attention it is, you know, sucking from people on their phones, and I'm super guilty of it. And then I look at, like, upcoming technology like VR and stuff, and I'm like scared shitless for the human race, because like, I saw that one photo or gif of that one dude on like a subway or a train somewhere, and he had like a VR set on, like, in a train, and it's just like, this cannot be the future. Like, we're fucked. Like, I mean, as like, just from us, like, just a social and environmental perspective, like, because, like, if everybody's, like, enclosed inside, like, how much are they really going to be caring about, like, what's happening outside in their world?
Man, I have so much to say on this tangent.
That's, I mean, I know this is, like, I think originally we were saying, talk about, like, relationships and work, and we should probably touch on that as well. But yeah. I think some of this, this is, like, a tangent where I just feel like making it a priority, get away from that screen.
Oh, I feel so strongly that technology's purpose is to enhance our lives and our reality, and not to take away from our lives and our reality. You know, the more,
what if it is your reality?
That's not a reality I want to take part in. The less you have to interact with technology, and the more elegantly it can enhance your life, I think. I can't think of really good examples or how that should be. It's more so just ideals.
So you don't want a HUD in your snowboarding goggles. That's what you're telling me.
Actually, so to me, that's like an example of like augmented reality. And like, if I was to pit virtual reality versus augmented reality, I'd much rather see like everybody shift towards AR versus VR, because you're still interacting with the world around you.
Yeah. I personally can't wait for augmented reality to like really take off in the LARPing community.
Lightning bolt. And you can see the speed of the you can see the speed of it going.
Yep. Yeah, dude. All that you can stuff, upgrade, man. That shit. It's just like laser tag. Ta-ten. Anyways, that was a joke.
one quick plug though, Omita.
Yeah,
it's highly tech, but it's a beautiful, more traditional analog thing.
Yeah. I think that's a really good example of technology enhancing our lives and not taking away.
I'd agree with that. And for those people that don't know what we're talking about when we say Omita, it's omata.com.
In the show notes.
Yeah, and we'll put it in the show notes, but they are doing something really special for bikes and precision bike components, and they're starting out by doing an analog speedometer that has a GPS in the internals, and so it's very it's very high tech, but it's analog, which means that you're not constantly looking down like it's a Garmin and like analyzing everything.
Yeah. And it's beautiful. It's machined aluminum. It's not cheap plastic. The face is wonderful.
And full disclosure, Rally is an investor by design with them. So just need to put that out there so that we, but even so, even
go
if
go buy one,
it's a product we all believe
go
in.
Go buy 10.
Even if we weren't investors by design on it, we would still be plugging it because I think it is a great example of, you know, Reese and Julian, the two co-founders. Actually, there's three co-founders, but Reese and Julian are, you know, their mission to sort of like have great technology, but not keep people distracted from like enjoying the world around them.
Absolutely.
On a bike is awesome. And that is a great example. That's a super good example of where, you know, it's enhancing people's lives and cyclists' lives, but it's not distracting them because I feel like once I finally get my Amata on my handlebars, next February, I am really excited because I've always used like Garmins and stuff. And when you see those digital numbers, you're like always like just looking down on your handlebars, like looking at all the different numbers, like heart rate, all this stuff. Like I got to make sure I'm in my zone for training. And, you know, with an analog face, it's just like, you can glance down and just be like, oh yeah, no, I've already gone 60 miles. Everything's cool. And all of that data that I'm, you know, accruing on my ride is getting logged, you know, like you're not losing it.
You're not losing precision, but I think there's something about glancing at an analog dial and saying, oh, I'm somewhere between, you know, 15 and 20 miles per hour instead of, oh, I'm 17.2, I'm 17.25, I'm 17.23 and always looking down and looking down and looking down.
Absolutely.
And instead just being able to have this analog dial in your periphery and actually just focus on the ride and the beautiful scenery and not just looking at 17.2, 17.23, 17.7.
I mean, even on rolling machines and stationary bikes, like I really get caught up in that figure and it kind of like takes me out of my rhythm. So
Yeah, you get so focused on like, even when you're exercising, you know, you get so focused on like the tech behind it. You know, if you're worried about your heart rate zone and stuff and, this is going on a huge tangent with like where is technology taking us in terms of like our attention, and you know, it's something that's on my mind a lot. Ironically, I'm always like reading on my fucking phone like late at night when I should be, you know, reading a book or something, you know. It's like it's always there, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so I think, at least for me, trying to figure out ways of like getting myself away from it, because it's addicting. Like it really is, I think, for even people that maybe aren't normally super addictive personalities. Like even if you're slightly, you know, addictive in some way, like tech is crazy like that.
I think what's amazing though is all the opportunities for technology to make us smarter. I mean, there's a lot of ways it could be abused and make us dumber, not to just keep like going on this tangent, but
more dumb.
I love the fact that I can be in my garage working on my motorcycle and have my iPad there looking at scanned diagrams, exploded views of like motorcycles from the 70s and know exactly how the components break down and see part numbers and be able to order them right there from eBay and have them show up 2 days later. Like that is amazing to have that.
That's really real. Cool.
Yeah, iPads are real.
No, dope.
I saw another piece of technology example that I thought was interesting. It was a short throw projector, but it was being used in a kitchen, and it was displaying a recipe on the wall of the kitchen. So you could easily prepare whatever you're doing and not worry about like propping a book up or like refreshing your phone to like, you know, phones always fall asleep or whatever. But you could easily pull up a menu, throw it on a wall, and be anywhere in the kitchen and see what you need and et cetera.
It's funny you say that because that was really initially the reason I bought my first iPad was for recipes. And then, I quickly stopped cooking and fell into like a bad world of fast
food. I think that's really cool, though, when technology can not only enhance but motivate someone to do something like to get better at cooking and have like actual real life experiences based on that to like lower the barrier of entry to cooking.
Yeah, cool. Absolutely. Especially when you're single and you're trying to impress that lady.
Which brings us right back.
I know, but I was at the time. This was 5 years ago.
Which brings us back to work-life balance.
And also, I think, just relationships and work. I'm curious to hear what you guys like. So for you, Jeff, how has it affected, you know, your work and relationships outside of work? And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, it can be anybody, right? Like friends or.
Yeah. I think it's hard, you know, when even with friends, family, significant others, I mean, fortunately my significant other, she is freelance, but she's also a designer. So I think she understands when I have to work late. I think she's bummed out and probably wishes I could be freelance too, so we could hang out all the time. But yeah, it is hard when you have to text them and tell them you have to work late because of a deadline. I think some of that pressure we put on ourselves, and I could do a better job of pushing back on some of those deadlines. I don't think people always remember missed deadlines or budgets, but they remember the final product. And sometimes I think I do the best work when I'm not working late a couple nights in a row. I don't know if anyone else feels the same way or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jim, I know you mentioned, I don't want to rehash too much, but on an earlier episode, you said you actually had some relationships end, I think, you know, when you're trying to get your foot in the door or through college, I think it was.
Yeah. I think I've done a better job at fostering relationships that kind of better align with my interests or like what I want to get out of work and life. So, you know, I'm with a really dope chick right now that understands that, you know, I really enjoy my job, and if I need to put in some extra hours, she's totally cool with that because she's in law and she has to kind of do the same thing. Yeah. So when there's that mutual understanding, it's not that big of a deal. And same with my friends, you know, a lot of the friends that I have in Utah are kind of in this room right now, but, outside of that, you know, they care a lot about the work that they put in. So, you know, we're all adults. It's not like we're in college anymore and we can just hang out between class. It's, I guess you choose to spend your time with people that align with similar interests and kind of have the same work ethic and values as you. So it's, right. I think for me, it's gotten better. Not that it's been bad, but like people are just more understanding now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I will say fortunately I haven't reached this point in any of my jobs, but if I had to choose between my relationship and work, I would choose relationship every time. I think there's a lot of people, and it kind of horrifies me. There's a lot of people that would choose work over
their relationship
with their significant other. And I mean, maybe it just depends on like the phase of the relationship they're in, but,
or the phase of their career. Like, I don't know. Like I guess I kind of made a stigma out of my previous comment and a previous episode. Like I didn't mean to pass judgment when I said that. It was just, you know, when you put in so much time and you're like finally doing something with your life and you feel like you're finally amounting to something, you don't want to put that on the back burner, because I have put it on the back burner for relationships before, and so this time I wanted to do it for me.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I think it's just sort of a decision everyone has to make, I think. I think it does help a lot to have someone who understands what it's like to be really passionate about something and be like, this is what I want to do, especially when you come home from work to do more work, whether it's freelance or a side project or whatever. And for them to kind of understand that, I think is really, really key. But then also a balance to make sure that you still are trying to figure out a way. And it's something I could be better at, is to find a way to balance that and devote more time to them in return.
If only you could work and hang out in VR.
What about you, Eric?
I guess I have two stories about this.
I've
ruined multiple relationships with working too much. But those individuals and I ultimately aren't on the same page because, again, to your point, passion. They weren't passionate about anything, and I was kind of what they were passionate about, and I was never around, so it didn't work. And then another story, working at a different agency. The girlfriend at the time bought concert tickets for my birthday. It was on my birthday, the concert. It's a band I loved. It was beautiful June 1st day, outdoor venue, amazing. And my creative director at the time was trying to get me to stay late and work all night on this thing. And I kind of like was, no, dude, like my girlfriend got me these tickets for my birthday. Like I'm going to this concert. And like I was out of the office for like 4 hours. And ultimately those 4 hours had no effect on the end project. And I got written up and like my hand slapped for going to this concert.
But you still got the work done. Deadline met.
Yeah.
But you still got in trouble.
Yeah.
So going back, would you change your decision?
No, it was a great show.
So work-life balance. Choose concert and June 9th.
Yeah. I think it's easier to make those decisions too when you work at a place not to... I mean, yeah, I love Rally. So, I mean, Rally gives us all that opportunity to be able to do what we want to do. And there's a complete understanding that sometimes fucking life happens, you know? And I've never had that anywhere else that I've worked. So,
yeah.
Do you need a refill on that Kool-Aid? Or it looks like you're about out. You drank it all.
Yeah.
I drank all of mine. All we have left is whiskey. The beer's out. Somebody should
is it
go
Kool-Aid
get some more
flavored?
This is a hard one because most of my working life it's been very hard to peel away. And you know, starting Rally and running Rally is definitely hasn't helped, but but it also, like, if you were to ask my wife, Mindy, who's been amazing, we've been together we haven't been married for 11 years, but we might as well be, we met in college. And so I was, even in college, I was working constantly, And so I feel like even with Rally, it's super stressful, but it's like existential stress. It's not necessarily like I'm working more hours working here. It's just more existential. Like you just feel more burdens of like payroll and the business aspect of and whatnot. But before, at other companies, it was almost worse, honestly. And so I guess for me, it's hard because I feel like sometimes I feel like sometimes like I associate work and like who I am, like those things those lines get blurred, which is not a good thing.
Absolutely.
It's not a good thing. And like, it's something I've struggled with most of my career is like, the ideal situation is like, you're working to live, not, living to work kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or another way of putting it might be, what you do doesn't define like who you are. And those two things I've struggled with a lot over the last decade. And it goes in phases, but I don't know if it has to do with more of just my self-esteem as like a person and where I, feel like I fit in to the universe, or it has to do with the passion that I have for what I do. And those two things are hard for me to decipher. I still struggle with those things. And, thankfully Mindy's, she's seen the last 11 years unfold and she's, she's got her own passions, which is awesome. They have nothing to do with technology.
Yeah.
And so like she gets super passionate about her things and I, that's awesome. As long as that can be, I think it would be hard if my personal relationships, I was trying to build personal relationships with people that, like Eric said earlier, like weren't passionate about anything and sort of like, relied on their, connections and friends and significant others to sort of like, have that sort of connection and be happy. Like if they're heavily reliant on other people for that, that would be difficult for me. But yeah, this is a hard subject for me because I struggle with it.
So,
all the time.
So, and if it's something that you struggle with, I think we all somewhat struggle with it. How do you create an environment that makes people feel empowered to take time off or take those lunch bike rides or whatever it may be that they're passionate about?
I don't know. I don't know how to create that environment.
Yeah.
I feel like it has to, well, I don't know.
I mean, for me, it's just like up until this point, it's been like, I just have to have the understanding that people need breaks. And
does it have to do with trust?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, you have to be able to trust the people that you work with. But I think it's also just like, you know, if you apply, like for me anyways, like if I applied like the same exact standards to everybody that I work with, like that's unrealistic, you know? Like individuals, like you need to have like a certain standard of like work ethic and whatnot. But I think if it's like a blanket of like black and white in terms of like work ethic and the work that somebody's producing, it's, you're going to be sort of creating a culture that is just like a culture of fear, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know for sure, but
I do know for sure. And that's why I continue to work here, is because I'm not afraid of repercussion, you know, like, I feel a mutual trust amongst everyone here, and it's not like, man, did I fuck up? Am I gonna lose my job? Because I've been there before, and
right. I mean, everybody fucks up, right? Like, so it's you know, I fuck up a lot, all the time.
All the time.
I mean,
but it's not something that keeps me up at night. You know, like I can go home and get a good night's sleep without worrying all night whether I'm going to get pulled into an office and like reprimanded.
Jim, coming into Rally, when you saw people going on those lunch bike rides, well, how did that make you feel? Did you feel like, I don't know, upset maybe, or did you feel like that enabled you to have those opportunities to take time off for things that you loved? I think it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear what you thought about that coming into this.
I just thought it was like dope. Like if it's a beautiful day outside and there's time to kind of like get a good crank in, why not? Like as long as you're coming back and getting your stuff done.
Yeah.
That is sort of hard though. Like fitting like a full-time job in and like not working overtime per se, but also like being able to cut out in the afternoons, like is actually like what that means is like people do have to work late more because they cut out for like 2 hours in the middle of the day.
But I think there's a great understanding of it here, and it's probably a little bit easier for people that don't have a wife and kids to go home to. It's a little bit more understanding to be able to like put in those later hours. But
we also had an issue with a recent employee, and they weren't hitting deadlines and they were never in the office. So maybe they saw people riding bikes in the afternoons and they thought it was okay to be outside the office all the time or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible.
I think definitely probably one of the biggest challenges is figuring out how to, you know, because they probably didn't see people come in later and hitting their deadlines and getting the work done and staying late, you know.
I mean, and part of it is also just, you know, this is just coming back to like hiring the right, like the person, like hiring people that you can see that they're super driven, you know, like they're really passionate and really driven. And you don't necessarily want them to be working constantly, but you at least know that like they have the personality that they won't allow themselves to slip, if that makes sense, in terms of their work. Like even if they go out and they cut out for a half day, you just like, you know that they're wired in such a way that is just like, they're going to find a way to get it done and make it good, you know?
Yeah. And I think on the other side of the spectrum, I think it's important to make sure you're not just hiring workaholics and that people are able to find that balance, however that may be, so that you at least feel like they're in it for the long haul more and they're not just going to get burnt out after 6, 12, 18 months.
Sure. Sure. I mean, burnout is one of those things where, I mean, that it happened to Wes, you know, like that's, you know, we talked about Wes earlier and, he's so focused when he comes into work, but the first 5 years of Rally, he just did not take enough time for himself. And it led to him just having to take 2 months off completely, you know, and that's, I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
But like, you know, that is sort of like the other side of it is the burnout thing. Like, cause everybody has their moment. Like everybody has a cracking moment, you know, like I know I've told you guys all this, but I know when, it was before Jeff, you were here only for a couple months, but when we got the ESPN job and then we got the Nokia job, and this was before we hired Eric, mm-hmm. you know, Brian left, who was the first designer that we hired. And I was a fucking wreck, dude. Like, I remember, you remember when we went to coffee?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was essentially like, well, I mean, you have for me, I've like mentally blocked, I think, even that coffee out of my mind because I was in such a dark place. But I'm sure you probably remember it fairly vividly.
I mean, I don't remember it, and I mean, we didn't have a stenographer, so it's not really super detailed.
I don't know what that means.
Well, it's the person in the courtroom takes the notes. They like type. They have a weird typer thing. Anyways, I don't remember it in real vivid detail, but I remember you seeming pretty stressed. We went and we grabbed coffee, and you're like, I don't know how we're gonna get all this done, you know. So, but I think I realized it was an opportunity for me to either sink or swim, and to either gain a lot of respect and responsibilities at Rally or to end up being fired because I completely screw up the job. But I'm still here, so I don't know. I guess it worked out all right.
You did an awesome job. but I also remember it didn't end there, because I remember we had our Christmas party that December, and I was so stressed over, like, I didn't sleep for like 2 days straight, and I like broke down, and I almost didn't come to our Christmas party.
He looked like a ghost.
I was not in a good place for that Christmas party. Like, it was pretty rough. I think one of the reasons why I have not, like, if I had not taken vacation for the first 5 years of Rally, like ever, I would have hit a breaking point like years ago, where mm-hmm. I just would have totally cracked.
Done. Just completely burnt out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I just want to end this, go around real quick and ask everyone if they feel like they have a good work-life balance. And if they do or they don't, do they feel like it leans more on the work side or more on the life side? Eric, do you have a good work-life balance?
All in all, absolutely.
Do you think it favors work or life more right now?
I mean, I could always take more time off, right? Like,
be honest.
But I think the balance is tipping towards work
right now.
Yes.
Is that a good thing?
I feel like as long as you are growing and progressing in whatever you're doing, it's a good thing.
But as long as you have at least a sliver of life in there, right?
There's a lot of life in there.
All right, cool. Jim, work-life balance. How are you feeling?
I think I'm doing pretty good. I think I could probably do more things for myself, but that's not on the air of Rally by any means. It's just more of a personal responsibility that I need to take. But yeah, shit's cool.
All right. Ben.
Oh, man.
How many bike rides did you go on last week?
I did 6 days in a row of bike riding. Yeah.
Wise man once told me, an object that is in motion tends to stay in motion.
It's true. Now we've gotten to bad boy. Well, I think it has always swayed towards work.
Yeah.
And whether or not I can say that's a good or bad thing, I don't know. I worry that if I slip too much, like, just there's like a ripple effect there, you know, because inevitably, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Jeff, how about you? You work on the weekends a lot on side projects.
Yeah, I think that's something I'm working on figuring out. I think right now it probably leans a little too heavy towards work, if I'm going to be perfectly honest. And I haven't figured out exactly how to solve that just yet, because there's a lot of things that I want to do. And I always feel more this way once summer starts coming around, especially in Utah. There's so much that you can do, and there's so much that I want to do.
So you're leaning on the side of work, but what did you do this week?
What did I do this week? I took 3 days off to go fishing with a friend who was in town. So that was good. I needed that. It felt really good to kind of like reset a little bit, come in refreshed. I didn't feel bad taking that time off.
But I want to step back to, like, I think, like, if I did side projects on top of
owning a studio,
I'd be dead.
Yeah. I think the biggest takeaway from this conversation is be passionate about what you do, but also be passionate about living your life outside of work, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think trying to get away from the noise in general, and I think sometimes this is my own biases that I'm applying to this perspective, but in the bigger cities for folks in the industry in the bigger cities, it's like sometimes I feel like just going out for dinner or something, like, that isn't enough.
Right? I don't think, like, so.
You're still just in it, especially in San Francisco. Like you go out in the city, coffee shops, bars, doesn't matter. Like, it's figure out some stuff to really take you out of your element.
I think
industry talk, beyond like anywhere that you're surrounded by people that work in the industry, if possible.
Yeah, so. Man, camping's so awesome. I need to do more of that this summer.
Yeah. Dude,
same.
Stop with the light pollution. Get out and see the stars.
I need to go. I still haven't camped in the Uintas.
What the?
And we just got
flipping this table.
I know.
All right, let's end it there. We're going camping, everybody. Have a great weekend.
We'll meet you in the Uintas.
Uintas campsite National Forest.
92.
Yep.
I don't know. I just made that up. Is all there right. even?
Bye.
Bye-bye.